Greenville, South Carolina, there stands a lighthouse of Christian testimony, beaconing forth the light of salvation to a world lost on the sea of sin and despair. Bob Jones University, the Fortress of Faith. A small frame card on the wall of the reception room of Dr. John Kent's dental office reads, "Sweet hour of prayer that calls us from a world of care." Behind that line of the old familiar hymn is a miracle. I was reared in an orphanage in a backwoods section of an eastern state. For almost 17 years, I was overworked and underfed. The orphanage was run by a red-bearded man named Kisslinger. He was a cruel man, and he frequently caned both boys and girls. Can I help?
I'm all right. It's only...
I know. He ought not to beat you girls. Why, you're almost grown up.
I'm 17. I didn't do anything wrong. Just didn't get all the work done he said I had to do.
Our righteous God, we pray you'll rebuke and chasten the rebellious hearts of these wicked children. I pray...
I could stand the lickings if he just didn't pray like that
and
afterwards.
Not doing their work as they should.
The prayers were instructions to God on how to punish hungry, overworked children. His prayers were long and tedious and did not end until he'd recited a full list of our shortcomings. And those were the only prayers we ever heard. We had no religious instruction. And all of the children decided that both God and Kisslinger hated children. And I developed a bitterness toward both. Ellen?
I'm here by the big tree. Oh, he beat me again, Ken.
I guess next to me, he hates you the most. Oh, please don't cry. Here, let me wipe away your tears. Oh, you've got awful pretty blue eyes, Ellen. They shouldn't be filled with tears.
Oh, I wish I could be brave like you. You don't even whimper when he canes you.
I just stand there and think how I hate him.
Oh, you mustn't do that.
Why?
Before I came here, before my folks died, my mother used to teach us that it's wrong to hate anyone.
It can't be wrong to hate Kisslinger. It can't. Until I was 17, I had never even 50 cents of my own. But one day, after the visitors had gone...
What's the matter? What's happened?
Look! Look, somebody lost $10. I found it on the lawn.
Oh, I never saw so much money.
We're going to run away tomorrow.
But I... Can't.
We're going to Philadelphia, and we're going to get married. We ran away to Philadelphia and persuaded a minister to marry us. I immediately got work in a small factory, $6 a week for a 12-hour day. We got a lighthouse-keeping room high under the eaves in an old house on Arch Street. We lived like kings compared with our lives in the orphanage, and we even saved money. One warm evening, to escape the stuffiness of our attic room, we strolled out into the street. A crowd at the entrance to an empty store attracted our attention.
What's that?
Well, let's go see.
That's fine. The painless dentist. He's going to pull
it too. And why, ladies and gentlemen? Because I injected a few drops of magic painkiller, the greatest dental discovery in all time. There. There's the offender, and this gentleman did not even wince. Who's next? Which of you wants to win toothache for all time?
Honey, I've had this nagging tooth. Mister, how much?
Would you pay $5?
Well...
Of course you would, but you don't have to. I'll end your tooth misery for just 50 cents. Now, step up quickly, please. Others are waiting.
Well, what do I do?
I'll sit right here. Let's see. You have two very bad teeth. Can you spare a dollar?
Well, here.
Oh, what's that?
A needle. It will sting for a moment, then you'll feel no pain. All right, ladies and gentlemen, while the magic painkiller deadens the gum, let us consider the marvels of this new innovation in dentistry. There you are, young man. All gone.
You mean you pulled my tooth?
Here it is.
Why, it's like magic.
As we saw the money he earned so easily, from that moment on, dentistry was our dream. The next evening, we waited until the dentist had closed up shop. I worked up my courage and said, "How much would you charge to teach me dentistry?"
Do you drink?
No, sir.
Well, I do. And that's why I'm a pitchman chased by the police from pillar to post. But I'll teach you for $100.
Oh, well, I could pay you a dollar a week.
I have a better idea, boy. Can you grow a mustache?
Don't make fun of me. I'm serious.
So am I. If you can grow a mustache, I'll teach you how to yank a tooth, and you can make a pitch of your own. I'll make a good tooth pull out of you, boy, but I'll want half of what you make for 2 years.
During the next 2 years, Ellen and I covered a large part of the United States, and I had saved $1,800. Then I enrolled in a small dental college. Ellen graduated from high school, and I from dental college, and became a dentist, a real one. We were deeply in debt as we started our own practice. Month by month, we fell further behind, and our nerves and stamina began failing. It was work and worry and work. We knew we were going to lose our business. Well, Mr. Brownlee, come in.
Well, I came to get a tooth fixed and be a patient. But from the looks of you two, you need a doctor. You two should take a vacation. You're sick people.
It's only strain and worry. And we'll be taking a permanent vacation in about 3 weeks. We're going to lose our business.
Well, maybe it's for the best. Sometime health is more important than...
No, it's not for the best. It's the worst thing that could happen to us.
Well, whenever I meet a problem that seems insurmountable, I turn to God. Have you turned to Him?
I'm afraid we don't know Him. We got a bad impression of Him when we were kids in the orphanage.
You can't blame the Lord because someone who pretended to know Him mistreated you. Look, God loves you. He says so in His Word. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's as simple as that.
I can't...
What is it?
Nothing. Now, please, let's get to your work. Others are waiting.
Do you hate anyone?
Well, there is one man who did us great harm.
Accept Christ, then forgive the man. Bitterness only destroys the one who carries it.
Would Christ take us as we are?
Just as you are. You can't fix yourself up. Now why not kneel right down here and ask Him to save your souls and make you what you ought to be?
Can't.
Oh, all right. Dear Lord, I've never prayed to you before. It seemed that prayers used to be related to an evil man in my mind. I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins and save me in Jesus' name. Amen.
After Ellen and I were saved, nothing more was said for the moment. I worked on Mr. Brownlee's teeth, and we watched him as with smiling eyes and a nod he left the office. It wasn't until hours later, after the last patient had gone, that Ellen and I had time to talk.
Kent, what about Kisslinger? Can't you stop hating him now?
Do you know that hatred has carried me over some of the toughest spots in my life? Often, when it looked like I was beaten, I'd say, quit now, and Hal Kisslinger would laugh.
Then I'd get so mad I'd whip the situation.
But we don't need that hate now.
Ellen slept soundly that night, but I kept thinking of Kisslinger and Christ and forgiveness until I woke with nerves raw and quivering. I was in a mean mood.
Who's your hatred hurting, Kent?
Okay, Mr. Brownlee said God answers prayers. I'll pray that I'll be able to forgive him. We'll see how God answers prayer. The next morning, we went to the office an hour earlier than usual, and we had prayer there. We've done that every day since. On that very first hour of prayer morning, the reception room was crowded with a group of obviously poor folks. My heart went out. Ellen, look at that old woman counting her pennies.
I've been watching her.
We have, at most, 3 weeks of practice left. Let's devote that time to the poor, without charge.
Wonderful idea, dear. Why not?
All right, young man.
All finished.
How much?
Oh, pay only if you can afford it.
What's this, a gag?
No. We're about to lose the business, so we're giving the rest of our time to folks who can't afford dental care.
Very interesting. Very interesting indeed.
The next day, the paper ran an item about our free work, and that did it. The poor flocked to our offices, particularly old people and children. Then a broker came and asked some questions and left. An automobile executive visited, asking questions, and he left. A famous dress designer talked a long while with Ellen one day. Altogether, more than 20 prominent people investigated our practice. They offered their support. We paid our debts, saved money, and now have a fine practice in addition to our free clinic work. So now you see why I have the sweet hour of prayer sign in my office. That hour is our bulwark. We've learned to trust in a God who answers prayer and in one who cares for his own.
Listen again next week for another dramatic story of Christian experience from the Fortress of Faith, Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.